noise on the hill has quieted down. Since the unusual darkness that has come at noontime, everybody is going about off down the trail, going back down the path to Jerusalem. And about the only sound that you and I hear, who have stayed around on the hill, comes from the three crosses, moaning, pain, breast, gasping. We hear the cursing of the men of the Roman soldiers over in the back as they gamble for the garments of the one in the middle. And we sit there and wonder. You say to me, you know, those two on each side, they deserve what they're getting. They're thieves. But the one in the middle, he was a good man. Well, I remember being on the River Jordan one day when John the Baptizer baptized him. And there appeared over his head something like a dove, and the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased." And I remember sitting on the side of a mountain not too far from there when he proclaimed that happy are we when we're meek in the spirit. Happy are we when we're poor in spirit. Happy are we when we hunger and thirst after. He said all of these things, and I saw him give the blind sight. I saw him give the deaf hearing. I was in that house that night when four friends tore the roof off the building and led a cripple down into the building so he could help him walk. I heard that he stilled the storms on the Sea of Galilee. I heard that he cast out demons from the deep into a herd of swine that killed themselves. I even heard, you know, my first cousin told me that there was a widow's son who had died and he raised him from the dead. And in that conversation, there was another man that was standing there and said, that's something, but I know he raised Lazarus. I was standing there when they rolled the stone back and Lazarus came forth from that tomb 4 days into death. Yes, he was a good man. He didn't deserve what he's getting. Things quieted down for a moment. And just as they quieted down and we became used to it, there came a cry from the cross in the center, "Eloi, Eloi!" And the pain that he was having to do as he pushed himself up with a nail in his 2 feet so they could get a breath even to say that. "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You nudged me and said, "Listen, he's whispering something else." And it is just barely above a whisper. But you and I are able to make out, he says, "It is finished. Father, unto thee I commend my spirit." We stand there a little longer, tears rolling down our cheeks, for we know that he's gone. The good man, the prophet, the rabbi, the one who everyone came to while he was on this earth. And wonder why. Why would anyone crucify and kill such a man as this? And then you nudge me and say, "Look, two well-dressed men have come up the path. They've gone over to the center cross, and some of the Roman soldiers are coming over now to help them, and they begin to take the body of Jesus off of that cross. I ask, well, who are they? And you respond, one of them's Joseph of Arimathea. I said, well, he's a member of the council. Yes, he is. But he was a follower of Jesus in secret. I said, well, what about that other one? I can't get a good glimpse of him, but he looks like, I believe it's Nicodemus. And you say, it is. He's the one that came to Jesus by night. And I thought to myself, if they ever thought about serving Jesus secretly, that's gone away today, for they had blood, his blood, all over them as they took his body off of that cross. There was no denying whom they loved. There was no denying whom they served. There was no denying, because as they wrapped that body in linen to go off down the path, yes, they were covered with his blood. Jesus, on that horrid day, with scarred hands, offers us forgiveness. With his torn skin, he offers us acceptance. He took that path up Golgotha that day to bring us home. And he obeyed his Father when he allowed him to nail him to that cross in order that we might have salvation. We're not actually asked to die on a cross. We're asked to climb that path, though, and to leave something at the foot of that cross. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 9 that he who would come after me, first let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. A very dear friend of mine used to say, before he passed away into the hereafter, Hoppy'd come up and say, Tommy, I figured this thing out. I said, what have you got figured out, Hoppy? He said, you know, Jesus can't get into me until me get out of me. There's no room for me and him both in here. How true, how true. And we're still like that today. Jesus cannot get in until we get out. I thought my cross was too big and too heavy and too hard to carry. And so I went and I said, Jesus, my cross is too big. I've got the wrong one. And he said, fine. There's some room with all the crosses. Go in there and get you another one. So I did. In a few minutes, I came back out and I said, I've got me a good one. This is just right. This is the one I need. It fits real well. Gabriel's standing there and he says, he grins a little bit and says, Lord, isn't that the cross he took in there? Jesus said, yes, that's the cross he took in there. But sometimes we have to understand that our cross, the way we think is too heavy, is not. But the hard thing about what he has said, let it deny ourselves. Let us deny the things that keep us from being what Jesus wants us to be in our lives today. He said in Matthew 19, if you leave house and lands and mother and father and sisters and brothers and all the things that you have, you'll be given 100 times more than that. And how do we know that's true? All we have to do is read the book of Job. Everything that Job ever thought about having and having was taken away from him. And yet in the end, God gave him 100 times more. My question at that point is that, can you outgive God? Have you ever tried to outgive God? What are we going to leave at the cross? Jesus left three bloody spikes, two for each hand and one for his feet. You and I have started toward the path, and as we cross by where the cross was standing, we look and we see that there's those spikes. We also see a crown of thorns laying there with bloody tips on them where they had crammed it down over his head. We find a sarcastic sign in all languages then that says, "This is the King of the Jews." My friends, we find the ground soaked in blood. Not just a little blood, but all of his blood. Every drop ran through that perfect body of his is at the foot of the cross. And he's saying, "What are you going to leave?" We get caught up in the world. We know friends who aren't friendly. We know neighbors who are not neighborly. We know workers who never work. We know bosses who are always bossy, but don't ever get anything done. I've also learned that a promise made is never not necessarily a promise kept. And we've learned that I do in a wedding is not always I do for the marriage. We get so caught up in these things of the world that we have a hard time walking day by day doing and being what Jesus wants us to be. We're anxious about things. We don't want anyone to know that we've stumbled and we fall. We're just as good and perfect as anybody in this world. We are good, but we aren't perfect. We pretend that we never fall. We pretend that we never did. And consequently, we live in pain and confusion about we can't walk as well as we want to. We can't sleep as well as we want to. We can't rest when time comes to rest. And we're always so touchy about our religion. What are you going to leave at the cross? But all of these things that mar our lives, all of these things that we call sometimes luggage, we walk about with luggage strapped to our backs. We walk around with luggage strapped to our waist, and we walk about trying to drag it along. Why don't we get rid of it? Jesus says, "Bring it to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Who's that? Who is that? I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest. What are we seeking? Rest unto your soul. Nothing keeps us coming to the cross but ourselves. But we must remember that the blood that he bled was for us. We must remember that the spear that went through his side was for us. We must remember that the nails he felt that went through his hands were for us. In Romans 8, Paul wrote to the Roman church, "He that spareth not his own son, but delivered him up to us all, how shall we not with him also freely, not shall he give us all things?" We seek all things. We want all things, but sometimes Jesus says, "You don't get all things, for you don't ask for all things." We got to get out of ourselves. And we just obtained salvation by just sitting on a cloud and floating into heaven? You know better than that. Can we just receive salvation by sitting on paddock pews with air conditioning all about us? And you know better than that. We must live day by day, each day that we're here, for Jesus, for what he did for us. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible tells us there, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. These are not things just scrubbed on the side of a wall somewhere. These are the words of God. These are the words that come to us across the centuries today. What are we going to leave at the cross? 1 Chronicles chapter 28, David was able to put together all the materials for the construction of the temple, for he had to leave it there because God wouldn't let him construct the temple. Solomon had to do it. We're told that we have left to us the word of God, that we might build the spiritual temple of our friends and our neighbors and our relatives and our schoolmates and those all about us. What have we left? Or what are we going to leave at the cross? We don't have to leave anything. Don't have to leave anything. Jesus wants us to leave our bad moments. Jesus wants to leave our mad moments. Jesus wants us to leave our selfish moods, our little white lies, our binges, our bigotries, and every flop and failure that comes about in our life. He wants them left at the cross. Why not bring them to him? We can't live with them, so why not bring them to him who wants them, who can wash them away? Have you ever thought about that? Your sins and my sins, brethren, have all been washed away. What I remember back in, I do too. I remember back, I do too. But you know, God doesn't remember that because Jesus in his blood washed them away. Why don't we leave them? Why don't we let Satan call them up to our memories and we let them bog us down into not doing anything for Jesus? Oh, we live in a time where it's different now. It's not, no, nothing's changed. In fact, it's better now than it was then. Internet, Facebook, Twitter. Brother, do you know there are people watching you and your Christianity that you don't even know are watching you? That's true. Wanda and I have been recipients, not just once, but many times, of people watching us to see how we would react to a situation, to see if we believe what God said, to see if we're going to live what God said. He's going to see. And we haven't been perfect. But there are folks watching us and watching you that you don't even know are watching. What about the mistakes that we've made this past week? But you said we're not perfect. No, we're not. We're going to stumble. We're going to make mistakes, but he wants them left at the cross. What about the mistakes we're going to make? Well, that's true. We're not perfect. We're going to stumble. We're going to make mistakes. Leave them at the cross. And sometimes, brethren, it hurts, but it is. It is. Sometimes our drinking habits are too big and we need to leave that at the cross. Sometimes our drug habits are too big. We need to leave that at the cross. Sometimes our cheating at work or cheating on our marriage needs to be left at the cross. Sometimes our mismanagement of our money and the mismanagement of our lives need to be left at the cross instead of toting them around day by day, week in and week out, month in and month out. Something for Christ needs to be done. Got all this is weighing me down. We worry about our health. We worry about going to the doctor to have a checkup and him coming back in and flipping up the pages of that flip chart and says, I've got some bad news for you. You've got cancer. We worry about that. My mama worried about it so bad, she told my daddy, if I get cancer, don't ever tell me, because if they tell me, I'm going to die. She died, but she didn't have cancer. Heart problems. Now, that's one I can tell you about. Laying in the emergency room at Huntsville Hospital on Christmas Eve, knowing that Christmas was coming, and the doctor says, you're going upstairs and spend the night. And I said, no, I'm not, neither. I got company coming. He said, no, you ain't got company coming. You're going upstairs. And there I spent the next week while they got it straightened, began to get it straightened out, and spent the next year getting it straightened out, getting a machine, putting my chest to run my heart. Worry. You know what a worry wart is? Young people don't know what a worry wart is. They've never heard that before. But boy, we know what worry warts are, don't we? And bless her loving heart, Jesus has taken her to heaven. But my mother was a worry wart. She worried whether the sun's going to come up in the morning, and if it comes up, whether it's going to go down at night. Leave it. Leave it at the cross. There's no reason for us to drag it around in our lives. Worry about your house. Worry about your house payment. Worry about the finances that you have and whether your job's going to be there in the morning or not. Leave it at the cross. You can worry about it till worry comes over, and it's still not going to change anything. Your parents and grandparents are young people. Now, I'm not picking on young people. Well, yes, I am. They're all at camp. You know, they can't hit me with a ball bat till next week sometime when they catch up. But we raised two boys. We raised two boys that have a size 14 and a size 13 foot. And they put them foots in the accelerator of them cars we bought them. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to make up a bumper sticker that went on the back of the bumper of their cars and say, how they're driving, call Dad, 1-800-CALL-DAD. But that's the time in which we live. Our anxieties and our worry, we need to leave it at the cross. Well, you see, Jesus said, I died there. I left all there. I rose from the dead 3 days from there, and I want you to bring it to me. Walt, there's a song we used to sing. It's in some of our books. The title of the song was Leave It There. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel, and he can save you, and he can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer. He will make a way for you and will lead you safely through. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. When your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on, and your body bends beneath the weight of care, He will never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there? Yes, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. But I don't know how to do that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Our sins were washed away by Jesus, and God sank them into the deepest part of the sea as far as the east is from the west. And yet we want to hang on to them. Don't do that. Don't do that. People will want to know, where did you get your freedom? How do you feel so good about life? Why do you do so many good things for others? Why do you... Well, I took my burdens to the Lord and left them at the cross. He took care of them. Well, I want to know how you do that. Well, let's get your Bible and let's sit down and see where you are and see where we're going to go from here. Oh, but you're just... No, it works. It works. Do people around us know that we're any different now than we were before? Are we just the same person? I'm asking you tonight to leave your final moment with the Lord. I'm asking you tonight to leave your final breath with the Lord. Death is something that scares us to death because we just simply don't study it and we don't know that much about it. But I'm asking you to leave it. Quit worrying about it and leave it. David in the long ago, the shepherd said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." We believe that? Is that not a biblical truth from cover to cover? Yes, it is. Leave that fear. I never did like to walk through a dark room by myself, but when Daddy come up and said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm trying to go over yonder, but I'm scared of what's in the dark room." He says, "Take my hand." And Daddy lead me across the room to where I was going. Well, you know, that's the way it is with death. When we come to death, Jesus says, "Where are you going?" "I'm going over there." And He'll take our hand and lead us over there. Why? He's been there. He's been there. He knows exactly what death is going to be. How do I know that? Well, He said it. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Paul said, "I've accomplished it all. I have finished the course. I have kept the race. Henceforth there is, not maybe, might so, maybe, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but for all them." Do you accept that? I lost my sister about 3 weeks ago, my younger sister. Why you say younger? Because it hurts when you lose a sister or a brother either, but it hurts when they're younger because they're not supposed to die. Barbara had been gone for about a couple of years. She had had little strokes along the way, and they had taken her. They had taken her recognition. They had taken her away where she didn't know who she was or where she was or who anybody around her was. And for 2 years, we watched her go through that. Her husband tried so very hard and did a marvelous job trying to take care of her, but he just more than he could handle. Until about 3 weeks ago from lunch, they took her back to her room in the little facility that she was in, beautiful facility, laid her down for a nap, went back to get her in about 20 minutes, and she'd gone home. She'd gone home. If I was to ask every one of you when you come through that door tonight with a little survey, how do you want to die? I dare say that 99 or 100% of us say, well, I just want to lay down and go to sleep and not wake up. But that's exactly what she did. If you're burdened in your heart, take it to the cross. If you're burdened in your soul, give it to Christ and leave it there. Are you ready? Are you ready? Is what we're seeking, brethren, is the eternity in heaven. And there's nothing in this world. There is nothing in this world that can match what we're trying to get. If you're not ready, come, let us help you as we stand together and sing.